Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Row, Nick Keys are here with you. I'm live at First Horizon Park, where the Nashville Sounds open up their season today against Jacksonville. First pitch is 6:35 tonight, and we'll also have your coverage on 94.9 The Fan today as well. So Sounds opening things up. And it sure is a nice day to be at the ballpark. We'll have Chris Jones from the Nashville Sounds a little bit later this hour on the program. We welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program, as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. Stilly, good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. Robbie, I got to tell you something. As somebody that has a child, I don't know how you do this, how you cover these Preds games and stay up until midnight and maybe later than that, then get your tush to work at 6 o'clock in the morning, and which means you're waking up even early. I have so much more respect for you now. I just want you to know that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It will probably result in my early death, but we're gonna try to stave that off as long as humanly possible. So, Jared, I want to get your thoughts. You know, you came up to Press Row yesterday. We were talking a little bit about the Titans. We had Charles on our show yesterday, and he talked about what he thinks the asking price at this moment might be to move up to the number one overall pick. So, given the way the picture has shifted this week with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston signing in New York, who knows what's going on with the Cleveland Browns right now, how do you view where things currently stand with the Titans, and what do you think their willingness still currently would be to move out of that number one overall pick?
Well, I mean, they're telling everybody they want to move out of the number one overall pick. They keep saying they're open for business. They keep saying to, you know, Schefter and whomever else will listen, they keep saying, yeah, we really, really, really like Cam Ward, but, and normally you don't do the but. If you really, 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 really like somebody, you usually just say, hey, we're going to take this guy, or you just don't say anything like Washington did last year, or Chicago did last year, or New York did with Zach Wilson when, again, San Francisco was trying to move heaven and earth to move up in the draft. So clearly the Titans like Cam Ward, but they don't love him. And when Charles said, you know, the equivalent of three first-round picks, I went and did the math, and I thought back to what the Giants did last year when they called New England, and it was on Hard Knocks, and they basically said, what will it take for us to get to three? Will a one next year be enough and then more this year, or does it have to be multiples next year? Because that was what they didn't want to do, is they didn't want to spend multiples in 2025. So I think that if the Titans were to really want the equivalent of three first-round picks, I actually think if the Giants like Cam Ward, there is a deal to be made, which would be number three this year, their first-rounder next year, and their second and third-rounder this year, plus, I say, a second in 2027. I mean, it's so in, you know, Joe Shane's not going to be there in 27, so unless he succeeds with Cam Ward, so I think they would be willing to make that move last year for Drake May. I just think here's the issue. I don't think the Titans love Cam Ward. I'm not sure anybody else really loves Cam Ward either. So when it comes to this haul of picks that they want, and they'll probably lower their asking price if they really want to trade it closer to the draft, but I just don't know if you don't love Cam Ward, maybe nobody else loves Cam Ward either. And I think that may be the situation they find themselves in.
Okay, so it sounds like you've had your mind changed a little bit, Jared, on just how the Titans view this. Am I reading that accurately?
Well, I mean, I think the Titans want to trade the pick. I just don't think that there's a taker out there unless it's the Giants for the pick. And the Giants, by signing Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, I mean, to me, that's insurance. You know, that's not necessarily like, now we're set at quarterback because we signed Jameis Winston for $4 million and Russell Wilson for $10 million. But it is, okay, if we have to go in the season with Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson, we can. The Titans haven't made any of these insurance moves, which makes it harder for me to believe that they wouldn't just sit and pick and take Cam Ward. But again, they keep telling everybody they're open for business. So, I mean, I took the Schefter report as like a Miss Cleo advertisement when he said that they really love Cam Ward, and it'll take even more to get Cam Ward, but I saw that, and all I could hear was, call me now, you know, inside my head. So I guess they keep telling people that they're not sold on Cam Ward and they'd be interested in moving the pick, and that tells me that they really want somebody to call them and knock their socks off, and it also tells me that it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, it's interesting because I could see where you're going with that, and then I guess the natural follow-up question if you're a Titans fan is, all right, well, let's say they pull that off and you know, the Giants move up and get a trade. Well, who in the world's playing quarterback for them next year? They're going to trot Brandon Allen out and play quarterback the first game next year?
Yeah, like why not at least have Jameis Winston? Like at least somebody who could play the position as a starter in theory.
Jameis Winston, Daniel Jones. I mean, I think there's a couple of options here, though, that, you know, Cousins was freaking awful last year. I mean, I cannot – when I did the quarterback board, I was stunned at just how terrible he was. I was like, okay, now I get why they benched him. But Cousins is out there. I guess he was spotted at a Chipotle in Cleveland yesterday.
He was.
And then Aaron Rodgers is still out there. And we know, obviously, Chad Brinker's with the Packers. And it seems like Aaron's going to the Steelers, but Aaron also hasn't signed with the Steelers. And so I wonder, like, hey, if the Titans kind of told Aaron and David Dunn, his agent, like, hey, sit tight. Let's see what happens here. Because the one thing that the Steelers won't do, sounds like the Steelers want to give Aaron Rodgers $20 million a year and not a penny more. You know, the Titans could go to Aaron and say, all right, we'll give you 30 for 1 year. You know, we pulled off this great trade. Now let's make a move with Aaron. But to your point, Joe, I do lean more with that analysis that the Titans haven't brought in an insurance policy. Surely they don't think Levis can start at quarterback for them no matter what. So I am a little surprised by that.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I thought it was – you threw me off, Robbie. I thought you were asking one next.
Sorry.
Also, you have also thrown me off with how much you shaved today, by the
way.
Yeah,
no, I'm sorry.
I just want to throw that out there. It's a little bit – yeah. So, okay, so how about you, Jared, and your feelings on Cam Ward? I mean, I know Jared's film room has been just absolutely popping, you know, here during this off season. But like, do you feel any better, worse, the same about him now than you did like a month ago?
So I would not take Cam Ward with the number one pick. And ESPN Radio, I guess, is doing like an ESPN Radio mock draft, and so they're asking a host at each station to pick a player that their team, like, that they would take or something like that. And I'm going to take Cam Ward in the ESPN mock draft just because I don't want to mess up the mock draft for everybody else. But if I was general manager of the Titans, I mean, it's harder to say, right? Because I still think the right decision would have been to go down the path of Sam Darnold. And I know people don't want to hear that, but if that was my opinion 2 months ago, why would that have changed now to go down the Sam Darnold path and then trade the pick? So, with that being said, I mean, I think to myself, okay, if I don't pick Cam Ward at number one, who would I rather pick? Do I want to pick Shedeur Sanders? No, I don't think he's very good. Do I want to pick Abdul Carter? Nope, he's hurt, out, no thank you. Doesn't work out at the combine, doesn't work out at a pro day because he's hurt. See ya, off the board. So, I mean, that leaves me with Travis Hunter, but he plays a position that I don't value with the number one pick. So, I mean, I see why they would take Cam Ward reluctantly. The thing I would say, though, is if I was a general manager reading the tea leaves behind an owner who, just doing some chatting behind the scenes, it sounds like she's kind of checked out. Kind of sounds like she's just done with the Titans for whatever that means.
Not even wearing the Oilers jerseys anymore. What's going on around here?
I mean, it sounds to me like she's just not even paying attention anymore from what I've been able to gather, which is odd. But I just don't trust her. So if I was the general manager, even if I said to her, like, I don't like Cam Ward, but I'll take him because, you know, we need a quarterback and it all aligns, but don't fire me when this doesn't work out, she's not going to do that. So I would not risk my career on Cam Ward in a league where you only get one shot now at GM. I don't understand why that is, but you only get one shot, and I would not risk my entire career on Cam Ward. Does he do things I like? Yes. But I just don't see how this team builds draft capital if they don't trade this pick.
So, Jared, Tennessee and Kentucky tonight coming up in the Sweet 16. Obviously a massive game. We were talking earlier. If they get the win, it's probably the biggest win in Tennessee history here if they can get it. So what do you make of the matchup, and what do you make of the Vols' chances to avoid being swept by Kentucky this year?
I mean, I think the Vols are going to win. I don't know if I should, you know, I don't know exactly what – I think that may be my heart pick as much as it is my head pick here. I just don't think that Kentucky – like, I think Kentucky's a Sweet 16 team. I don't think they're an Elite 8 team. I think the Vols are a legitimate Elite 8 team. Now, I don't know if the Vols are a Final Four team, but they might be. I think throughout the course of the year, Tennessee was a consistently better team than Kentucky, except for when they had to play Kentucky. So I guess I'm a little worried about that. You know, I had Matt Jones on the program yesterday, and I was kind of expecting, like, the old Matt Jones fireworks, talking trash about Tennessee and their fans and Kentucky. And I don't have any angst in my heart towards this Tennessee team. I'm rooting for Rick Barnes in a college basketball stratosphere of scuzzy coaches. I'm rooting for Rick Barnes, who seems like a good guy. You know, Matt Jones says that everybody in the college basketball world, Joe, you would know better about this than I would, thinks Rick Barnes is retiring at the end of the year. Well, I'd like to see the good guy get his moment in the sun here. So I guess I'll root for Rick Barnes in that regard. But I just don't dislike this Tennessee team. I will take no joy out of Tennessee losing the way that I did when they lost to Oregon State or FAU or those kind of programs. And when Matt Jones was on the show and he was saying the same things, I was like, man, this is a likable Tennessee team. So I'm rooting for Tennessee. I think Tennessee will win today. And then I think, you know, if Tennessee can get to the Final Four, I think it'll be the best thing that ever happened to Tennessee basketball and maybe the best state of the athletic department in the history of Tennessee athletics. So I'm happy for them, but you know, Kentucky has had their number this year. I don't believe this. You can't beat a team three times. I've seen that happen. I saw the Titans beat Jacksonville three times, so it's I'm true. Not of the belief that you can't beat a team three times.
Well, two things. Yeah, Rick Barnes dunked on that yesterday. It doesn't mean it, you know, it won't end up happening, but he was pretty adamant yesterday that that's not happening. He thinks
all I saw was a quote on Twitter about how God's going to make that decision for him.
Yeah, there was a lot more to it. But, yeah, I mean, he refuted it. But also, Jared, isn't this as simple as you hate Kentucky?
No, I actually was talking about this yesterday with Jones. Like, I don't have any – I mean, I don't – look, do I want Kentucky to do well? Probably not. But at the same time, like, with Calipari not at Kentucky, it's not as fun to hate Kentucky anymore. And last night, not Calipari yet. Had a typical Calipari meltdown. And it's not as fun to hate Calipari anymore. I just don't know. I actually kind of like Calipari now. I don't know what it is, but I just don't hate him as much. You know, last year when Kentucky lost to Oakland, I enjoyed every second of that. I listened to the post-game Kentucky show until like 3 in the morning with all those hillbillies calling in mad about Cal, knowing there was nothing they could do about it. I enjoyed every freaking second of it. Now, like, I have no feelings towards Mark Pope. I have no, you know, Kentucky fans are always Kentucky fans, but I never hated Kentucky fans. I enjoy Kentucky fans. And so I got to tell you guys, like, maybe it's because I don't live in the city anymore where as a Louisville fan, you're next to Kentucky fans every day. Maybe it's because, you know, the way Louisville views things, Patino's not there anymore and he hated Kentucky, although now he loves Kentucky because he's a most disingenuous coach in the history of the NCAA, but I don't hate Kentucky as much as I used to, and I don't hate Calipari as much as I used to, and honestly, I kind of missed it.
Scale of 1 to 10, how much would you like to see Calipari call the Hogs down there in Arkansas? It's got to happen at some point.
I would love to see that. I have to tell you, last night, when I watched them melt down to Texas Tech, I did start to enjoy it. Like, it did start to give me my warm fuzzies about Calipari. And it was funny because Matt Jones said, you know, oh, well, you only didn't like Calipari because you're a Louisville guy. And I was like, that's not it.
Your Matt
because
Jones voice is unbelievable.
I did not like Calipari at Memphis. What I think it is, and I equated this to smoking pot, and then I threw Jake Lyman under the bus, who I have no idea if he's ever smoked a pot in his life. But I was like, Jake, you would know more about this than I would.
I smoke weed constantly.
And I said, I was like, you know, back 15, 20 years ago, like, smoking pot was bad. Like, Honey Badger smokes pot, bad guy. And now, like, again, I don't know how you guys feel. I couldn't give a rat's ass if someone smoked pot or not. And so I think that paying the players is kind of the same way, and everybody knew that Calipari was paying the players. I mean, John Wall and those guys were committed to Memphis, and then as soon as Calipari got the Kentucky job, they just all went to Kentucky. So I think there was like a sentiment of like, oh, Calipari pays the players. Bad guy. And now everybody pays the players, so who cares? I mean, Jeremy Pruitt's lawsuit's like, well, when I got there, they were paying the players, and I went to Philip Fulmer, and he said, all right, I'll handle it. And, you know, I got fired for paying the players, but they were paying the players too. And it's like, who cares about paying the players anymore? So maybe that's why I don't hate Calipari anymore. I don't know. I just don't have the angst against Calipari. I was rooting for Arkansas going into the day, but then when I saw them blow the lead, I did kind of enjoy it. So, make of it what you will.
Yeah, you got good stuff. Rick Pitino. Your guy Rick Pitino was just, you know, room, board, tuition, and hookers. Yeah. I mean,
there's that.
So, you know.
But we didn't know that at the time.
That's
and
true.
I will say this. When all that went down, that was kind of a moment for me where I was like, all right, guys, we can't make fun of Cal anymore. Like, yeah. Cal's actually never gotten caught doing this, even though it's obvious that Derrick Rose didn't pick Memphis because of their biometrics labs. So, it is what it is. But then once we get caught with hookers, it's like, all right, man, it's hard to hate Calipari. But when Calipari was at Kentucky, I think there's like a certain arrogance Calipari had and a certain arrogance the Kentucky fans had. And then when Calipari kept losing, it became so enjoyable. Because I remember when they signed Cal to the quote-unquote lifetime contract, which really wasn't a lifetime contract, but that's what they labeled it as. And then the hillbilly politicians in Kentucky tried to get a law banning lifetime contracts. But it was like, I just so arrogant about how great Cal is, and he loses all the, and I hated it. And now it's like Cal's been humbled, and he's at his hillbilly school, Arkansas, now, and he won't do the hillbilly thing and call the Hogs. And Kentucky's got their coach, who's a Kentucky guy, and he seems fine enough. So it's just, we need some more villains.
There we go. Jared, thank you, sir. Appreciate you taking time to be with us today.
Gentlemen, have a good weekend.
You as well. Jared Stillman, our guest here on the program. We'll react to what Stilly had to say coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal, Boom Boss Pizza and Watch Bar, just in time for the NCAA tournament. Score half off a $30 gift card and enjoy their award-winning pizza and handcrafted beverages. Visit them in Nashville, Spring Hill, or Murfreesboro. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals. While supplies last, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. We'll have Chris Jones from the Nashville Sounds coming up here in just a few minutes, which could be very dangerous for me, but we'll get into that a little bit later here in the program. Joe, your thoughts on what Stilly had to say on the Titans, Cam Ward, and his belief that the Titans are wanting to move out of number one and maybe don't love Cam Ward as much as we think they love Cam Ward. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's speculation, which Stilly specializes in. But, I mean, look, the reality is some of these NFL guys have been putting this out there, and it does read to me like the Titans are wanting it out there, right? Like, it's not like they can't talk to other GMs without involving that, but it does seem like there's this – I've seen it from Rappaport and Schefter, this, like, by the way, it's not over. They're not convinced. It's not cemented. Now, look, could you love someone and, we understand this is not Caleb Williams. We understand this is not Trevor Lawrence or Joe Burrow. So we already knew that it wasn't like, oh, my God, they get Cam Ward. Oh, wow, what a lucky year to have the number one pick. We already knew that it wasn't that. And that, frankly, it looked like the Titans were almost – like resolved to trade out of there. And then all of a sudden now you have all the serious, all the moves say they're drafting Cam Ward. I guess what I would ask is it depends on your definition of love, but could you still love him, believe he could be great, but still to me smartly be open to the possibility? I know that's kind of threading a needle, but again, go back to the beginning of this. We already knew that this was not one of those guys at the top of the draft where there's just no questions asked. And that it's already happened with the Titans, that they seem to be going about things with one thing in mind, and now they seem to be going about things with another thing in mind. So basically we're doing a lot of guessing of what they think. But I think it's the right thing to try to see what you can, keep your ears open and see if you can figure anything out. And I think ultimately it's going to end up with the Titans taking Cam Ward at number one.
So you don't think that the Titans have like handed Cam Ward a playbook yet, like Joe Burrow got with Cincinnati? I'm like, here, just start studying this. Be ready by the time the OTAs come around.
Yeah, I don't think so, man. I don't think so. And look, like the Giants deal still laid out there. I mean, that's just, to me, that's wild. I mean, that one would be like, that's to me easy. It's like, okay, go through a year like with Tim Boyle.
Well, look, I was stunned when Charles said 3 first round picks are the value equivalent of yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, that's just I think that's where I agree with Jared as much as anything is like, I just don't think anyone loves him that much. He's the best guy. So there's him and there's a gap. Well, whatever the gap is, Charles keeps saying it. There's Cam, there's a gap, there's Shadur, then there's another gap. But how big is the gap between Cam and Shadur, and just where does it start, you know? Obviously, yep. He's starting behind a lot of these guys. So I just think that he's not going to be one of those guys that everybody that wants to send half the world for. And so you're going to end up being the team that takes him for better or for worse.
Coming up next, it is opening day for the Nashville Sounds. We are live out at First Horizon Park. It is a beautiful day out here at First Horizon Park. And we'll catch up with my guy, Chris Jones, coming up next, Senior Director of Marketing for the Nashville Sounds. This is Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Row, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. It is opening day for the Nashville Sounds. It is a beautiful day out here at First Horizon Park. And we welcome in my friend Chris Jones, Senior Director of Marketing for the Nashville Sounds. Christopher, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Roberto. How are you, good sir?
Doing awesome. Good to have you here with us. It's a beautiful day out here. It's crazy. You know, I was talking with some people here before the show started, you know, somebody who grew up here and spent a lot of time as a kid going over to Greer and just watching games over there. You know, there's kind of a nostalgia to it that you think about. And it's crazy. Like, I remember when this thing opened, this is the 10th year at First Horizon Park. It's nuts to think about that as somebody who grew up here.
Yeah, I didn't have quite as many grays in my beard, I think, when this opened. But, yeah, like you hit on it, like being born and raised here in Nashville, the Sounds are such a staple in this city's history. I mean, I remember growing up going to Greer, like you mentioned. I remember seeing Michael Jordan, the GOAT, not debatable, by the way, playing over there. And, you know, there's nothing better than coming to a ballpark here on opening day and getting a dog, beer if you can, and just sitting back and enjoying.
So wait, so you're an Alabama and a Bulls fan? Is that
no?
Can we get some Kentucky basketball in here too? Like,
yeah, at least I'm not a Kentucky basketball fan, and a Bama football fan, right?
Yeah, we've seen a few of those.
So it's one of those things. Growing up here in Nashville, Joe, like you know, you can probably attest to this. I'd come home. One, I grew up in the Jordan era, so I was a Bulls fan, and then coming home from school, the Cubs still didn't have lights at Wrigley, so I'm dating myself a little bit. So I'd come home, Harry Carey be on WGN, so that naturally made me a Cubs fan. Was a Hawks fan until the Preds came here, and so it just was one of those things. I didn't know that I wasn't allowed to be a Packers fan, so that really throws the trifecta out a little bit. But, that's the whole kit and caboodle.
So opening day here, this is obviously, you know, one of the unique things about baseball is, like, once it starts – it's go, go, go. Yes, I mean, it's go, go, go all the time. So for people that are coming out either today for opening day or are going to be coming out here over the next few days, and I know there's another series coming up after this that I'm coming to against the Redbirds, what can people expect as they come out to the park for yet another year of Nashville Sounds baseball?
Oh, man. Well, we love our themes, right? A lot of great themes coming up this year. We got Star Wars. We've got Harry Potter. We've got an emo night. We've got all kinds of stuff. A little something for everyone. So we love our themes. You know, Firework Fridays. You've got Hit City Saturdays, Throwback Thursdays, all kinds of fun stuff. And it's a little bit of something for everyone. It doesn't matter if you're single and want to mingle or if you're a family of three like yourself. And it's just a good time. It's hard to beat it in the city of Nashville. I know a lot of people have a lot of options. But we think for the dollar – there's nothing better than Nashville Sounds game.
Well, and just one quick thing to point out before I hand it back over to Joe. if you're wanting to come out tonight and you're maybe on the fence about it because Tennessee and Kentucky are playing tonight.
Yep.
There are plenty of TVs out here that'll have Tennessee and Kentucky on.
That was a point of emphasis for my digital coordinator yesterday. I said, please make sure everyone understands every TV except for the guitar will have that game on. So you will not miss a second of either Sounds game or the Tennessee Kentucky match.
So, Chris, I just want you to know that 9 years ago, I won the mascot race as Reba McEntire. So, I'm very, very proud of that. First of all, what about that aspect of things? You know, anything new there? And in terms of like the theme nights and everything, like, do you guys just sort of brainstorm things like that? Like, do you take fan submissions on different ideas? Like, how do you go about that?
So, I don't know if you meant to do this or not, but it is actually Reba's birthday. Saying it's Reba's birthday today. So I don't know if that was a
– Wow, very I didn't know.
Look at you, man. Very intuitive right there. look, the beauty of minor league baseball is we can pivot. We can come up with fun ideas. We can try things that a lot of other, you know, leagues and teams, you know, probably can't for a number of reasons. So it's a little bit of everything. It's what you talked about. It's fans telling us some things they'd love to see. It's somebody in the office coming up with a wild hair idea and like, let's give it a shot and let's see if people like it. So it's kind of a combination of all those things.
One of the things that is so cool to me about coming here is, I mean, I'm looking out right now. There's the band box in right field. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff. There's all sorts of areas for whether you're bringing kids, whether you're bringing your family, whether you're having a – you know, an employee night out with your work. Like, there's so much to do here in addition to the baseball game. Like, how much of a, I guess, of a point of emphasis is that for you guys to really be a place where not only do you get baseball all summer long and through and into the fall here, but also this is a great place to bring people to come and just kind of fellowship together.
Yeah. Look, there's like we mentioned earlier, there's a little bit of everything for everyone, depending on your size of your group. If you want to do one of the four tops, my personal favorite is the best seat in the house. There's a little four top right by the bench, and coach actually will kind of interact with you a little bit. I don't know anywhere else you can get that. And then there's the band box is always a favorite, but there's Paradise Park down there that's got you get your own keg and all kinds of stuff. So there is a fun spot no matter what you're into, everywhere in this park. And like you said, with Bandbox, there is a lot of new food and bev options coming up. I don't want to spoil anything. I feel like you got to come to the park to figure out what that is. There's a rumor there may be a frozen espresso martini.
Oh, boy.
A rumor. I can neither confirm nor deny.
Retro, is that up your alley?
I mean, I'm not against it.
Make sure you drink two of those before you go to bed there, Joe.
By the way, so Reba's birthday, and you know, yesterday was National Joe Day. Shout out to Joe Dubin for pointing that out. So we got National Joe Day yesterday, Reba's birthday. That's pretty amazing back to back like that.
On their show yesterday. He made sure to mention it coming out of every break, I think.
Of course. So how about on the baseball side, the player to watch this year, Chris? Because obviously, you know, people get into the team success, but of course there's a lot of emphasis on prospects and you know, just you get attached to certain players who are really moving up through an organization.
Well, and like added to that, like the partnership with the Brewers there. I mean, it's, you know, this has been something that's been, you know, kind of a long-standing thing there. So the importance, like, you know, you and I have been out to Miller Park. It's a great place to go. Yep. Like just that. First off, the partnership between Nashville and Milwaukee.
I was thinking about
this very interesting thing.
You got a major league baseball team in Milwaukee and a minor league hockey team, and then you flip it here, you got a quote a major league hockey team and a minor league baseball team. So there's some sort of connection there. Yeah, you know, Joe, there was scouts out here yesterday. They found this native kid from Mount Juliet that was doing a lap around the field, and it turns out he still got it. He was throwing home run balls back into the guys. And literally throwing it so hard and so accurate that their gloves weren't even having to move.
Oh, man.
So I don't know if that may be on the new scouter.
You still got it?
Still got it. You know, I throw like a catcher. Some habits are hard to break. But there's a rumor that we could be signing a native Mount Juliet kid.
Yeah. I like that. All right, last thing for you. I do want to point out, and we talked about this earlier, that I'm very glad that Alabama won yesterday. Otherwise, this would be a very, very depressing kind of tone here for the interview. So Now that they punched their ticket to the Elite Eight, yep, as the resident Alabama fan here,
Roll Tide.
Are they going all the way? If they shoot like they did last night, they're going to be impossible to stop.
Look, there is – I've said this to you and our group and some other folks. The thing about Nate Oates and his style and Alabama style, they're either going to beat the doors off of you or they're going to lose by 20. There's not much room in between. Makes for an exciting game. It's fun to watch as a fan. A little bit with my heart here, I do have them picked to win it all against Auburn in the final.
Ooh, Iron Bowl.
Oh boy.
I do. You'll be pleased to hear this. I do have Tennessee and Bama in the Final Four.
Okay, all right.
So
that's good.
However, I think it's probably best for everyone around here if Kentucky wins tonight, because really? Our GM's a big Kentucky guy.
Okay, all right.
So it's a win-win for me.
Okay.
Right? Either you are happy or our GM's happy. So that's kind of where I stand on that one.
Are you scared to death of what Joe threw out there earlier, that because they shot so well last night, they're just in for trouble tomorrow?
No, he's probably 100% correct. It's just one of those things where and Sears, as much as I love him, he's a gift and a curse sometimes. He's going to keep chucking it no matter what. But then he'll miss six straight, and then he'll make eight straight. And you're like, oh, okay, just keep chucking it.
That's right. That's right. Well, Chris Jones of the Nashville Sounds, our guest out here. Opening day today at First Horizon Park. And we're going all summer long here. I mean, that's, like I said, the beauty about baseball. Once it gets started, it's just game after game after game. You got plenty of opportunity through the season to get out here to First Horizon Park. Christopher, thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you. I got one more thing. If you go out to the Nashville Sounds website under tickets, we've got ticket bundles. We've got a great deal right now. If you buy one of our 100-level seats, you get a $20 loaded value. So these things kind of sell themselves there. And then, Joe, I want to congratulate you. I don't know if you know it or not, but you are now part of the next big three of radio.
Yep.
With this show right here. So congratulations.
Just changed. The radio world just changed with Chris Jones coming on here, no doubt.
Well thanks. Real quick, though, we're not getting into Robbie's bachelor party. We don't have time for that. No recap. No box score.
I don't know what you're talking about. We sat on the beach and read books all day.
What happened? That was it. That's all we did. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
Absolutely.
You.
Thank you.
Chris Jones from the Nashville Sounds, our guest. Opening day in Nashville. You're not going to find better weather for opening day. It's awesome out here today. So get on out tonight to First Horizon Park to check out the Sounds taking on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Glorious. I love it here.
Actually, he's not actually on a book page, is he? I just broke figuratively? My own rule. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
That's what happens when you fart around like that.
Farting A, man. You know?
It's so stupid. It's a terrible song. It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Joseph, the floor is yours. I turn things over to you.
I'm actually not kidding. Like, and I guess I could attribute this to okay. Dude, I seriously forgot what I was going to say. I was sitting here for a minute. I completely blanked out. And I'm like, I guess we could just call this my illness right now. My scarlet fever is overtaking me. But okay, now I remember. So I think there's always these complaints that come up quite often, and it's about media, you know. And you know, again, as you know, I like to. I mean, I guess maybe too much I defend media, but not always. But a big complaint, and it's come back up again this week, Robbie, is, of course, with this just ridiculous back and forth between LeBron James and Stephen A. Smith. LeBron James, who, by the way, sorry, Chris, is the GOAT, not Michael Jordan. But that's just the basketball side. I still haven't listened to this whole interview with McAfee. I mean, I saw the part where he said, like, he's on a Taylor Swift tour. And I was like, that's actually pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad. But apparently you said it was pretty cringy. I feel like Pat McAfee has an incredible knack for making people really cringy when they are interviewed by him. Like, do we give him any credit for that?
He certainly pulled it off the other day.
But the complaint always comes back to, you know, like, why is media – like, look at what's happened to ESPN. They've had some really good – well, they just got rid of Around the Horn, which I was never – you know, I was fine with Around the Horn. But, like, I was a huge fan of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the new – the actual, like, news, the investigative show they had, even, like, the sports reporters, I really liked that. I liked that more than Around the Horn. These things have all gone away, and it's basically just scream variations of people screaming at each other, which I suppose, I mean, I guess you could look at our medium here, and it's sort of, even though we don't disagree too much, but I mean, in theory, like, that's what we do. That's what Jared and I do. We just scream at each other, right?
That's true.
But people complain about this, and I agree. I hate it. But also, like, when it comes down to it, like, people are reacting to what people like will watch or listen to, you know. When it comes down to it, this is all a for-profit business, and so if something works, and like it or not, you know, you can hate Stephen A. Smith. I find him entertaining at times. I don't find him terribly, like, insightful, and in some cases, again, like the college hoops thing, he's talking about, he's not very informed. People tune in, man. People tune in. So the point being, if you don't like this stuff, you know, like, I mean, it's not done just because like ESPN just really wants that to be their format. It's because the numbers tell them to make them their format. So I guess really when it comes down to it, Robbie, I'm just pawning the blame off on the consumer at large, on the fans, on the public. It's your fault.
My rant today is against you, the people, all of
you. Yes, exactly. Thanks a lot. But it does suck. I mean, I agree with the sentiment. Like, it sucks. It should be more balanced. And again, like, ESPN isn't the, you know, I mean, when it comes down to it, ESPN is alive and well because of its live sports inventory, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But those shows do well. And, you know, it kind of started. I mean, you go back to, like, I mean, I remember the early days of Cold Pizza.
Oh, yeah.
And you started to get Skip on, Bayless on there, and then that just sort of became its own monster. People were like, wow, what are they going to yell at each other about now? I mean, I quickly got sick of it, and for the most part, I'm like, I mean, I like Skip Bayless, you know, his ridiculous LeBron takes that he has to double, triple, quadruple down on. But, I mean, it's interesting, too, how he moved on, and that did not do well. Why is that?
Yeah,
I mean, people don't like him, right? But it did well on ESPN.
Yeah, I think some of it's just as simple, and this is why, like, you know, Major League Baseball just lost their deal with ESPN, right? And, like, I think this is why that there's still, even in 2025, power with that brand, right? Like, it's not the same as it used to be. Like, you know, it used to be when I was growing up, like, if I wanted to learn anything about sports, like, I was turning on SportsCenter and I was turning on ESPN. And, you know, with your smartphone and everything else, there's so many more ways now to access that information. But I do think there's still power in being, you know, that brand and that, you know, the quote-unquote worldwide leader in sports. Like, I think that there's cachet that comes with that. So I think that's probably part of the answer, is just the platform that they've created.
And I do think part of the answer also is, again, say what you will about Stephen A. Smith. He does command audience, you know? I mean, and when he, you know, gets into somebody, I'll give him credit for, like, he doesn't back down.
He doesn't.
You know?
And he's going to swing on LeBron.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, he'll go after whoever. And sometimes it's pretty freaking funny, too, you know? I mean, it's clear that, I mean, I guess if you flipped it around, like if Stephen A. went and did some show at Fox with whoever and Skip had stayed at ESPN, I mean, maybe it just would have been the same results. You know, just like you said, ESPN just has a built-in advantage. But I do feel like it kind of shows us, like, Stephen A., and again, he just got some massive deal. Now it feels like it's like Stephen A. and McAfee are, like, rivals there who are trying to get the bigger deal, I guess. I don't know.
Well, and again, I said yesterday, I'm so, like, the Stephen A. LeBron stuff is so tired to me. You know, somebody on the text lines asked me, like, what about the LeBron interview was cringe for me. LeBron has been on this crusade for, like, a year and a half, 2 years, about how the sport is covered and that they are, like, he doesn't get covered the same way as other people. And the bottom line is LeBron doesn't like criticism. That's what it all boils down to. LeBron doesn't like criticism. And, look, I like LeBron. LeBron is responsible for some of my great memories as a sports fan, as Miami Heat guy. But LeBron, every now and then, has no idea, no concept of what he's talking about when it comes to some of these things. And I thought the McAfee interview was a perfect example of that. LeBron whines when coverage doesn't go his way, and that's what LeBron does.
Yeah, and it's been largely very fair. Yeah. No, I think he's totally out of his depth on that. Also, Evan just texted, Joe, LeBron is far from the GOAT of basketball, LOL. He's the GOAT of flopping only. Thank you for letting me know that you've never watched a game of basketball, Evan.
615-737-1025, our phone number. And again, I largely like LeBron, largely. But he whines a little bit too much about the media nowadays. Now, if he wants to get Stephen A. Smith's face again, I guess I'd see that. That'd be funny.
Maybe they can, like,
see if Stephen A. Smith actually swings on him.
I mean, maybe they can get, like, Jake Paul involved or something, you know, some dumb Netflix crap.
We'll have TD with us coming up next. We'll get into all things Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.